Let me tell you this. I don't know about you guys, but I love Christmas. Probably hard not to tell, right? I love Christmas so much that, get this, last year I had a Christmas tree in the parsonage, in the house, past the new year into, get this, Ash Wednesday. Not only did it take all of Christmas season, all of Epiphany season, but all the way up to even Lent, celebrating Christmas, because guess what? We kind of just need a little bit of cheering up. We need Christmas all year round. I love Christmas so much. I like putting on ornaments, and it's just my jam. So I brought into you something today. This is something special. This is happens to be the very top of our Christmas tree for this year. And if you can put two and two together, the reason why I have the topper of our tree today is this year happens to be my first Christmas as a married man, and guess what? The tree probably won't stay as long as Ash Wednesday this year, right? So we have the tree topper. The tree topper, like a lot of us, we like to top our trees with the most heavenly thing we can come up with, either an angel or a star or something to that effect. Today I bring you this star to remind us of something that we all have seen at one time or another, something that reminds us so much of even this church, Bethlehem Lutheran, and something for you and I to still celebrate Christmas today, that the joy that Jesus came into our life is something that we can still take to this new year. So, as we focus today on our place in the family of God, let's do something a little bit different. Instead of talking about people, let's talk about an object, a thing that we can grasp, the very star of Bethlehem. And as you've seen it, this is our very own star here that has led us through many years here at Bethlehem. But you ever wonder, what is it that's going on? If we heard today's scripture reading, there's a star that seemingly magically appears in the sky, and then it seems like it does something that normal stars don't do. It starts to shine, and then you can't see it, and then it starts to move, and then it shines over the exact spot where Jesus is born. That's pretty wild. Have you guys ever seen a star that does something like that? Maybe not. We're going to go in through a little bit of some theories on what people have thought the Star of Bethlehem was all about. But for us today, there's going to be two significant things for us to take home with. Two significant things about the Star of Bethlehem and why it matters to you. And with both things, they all focus on one thing. You know what that one thing is? We'll find out. Each of you has a Bible. We're going to go back to the Bible today and the reading that we just heard. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew, the very first book of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. The New Testament, the gospel according to Matthew, the very first page in chapter 2. In Matthew's gospel account, only Matthew and Luke actually talk about Jesus when he's born. But Matthew's unique because he's the only one that talks about the Magi, those wise men, and the star of Bethlehem appearing. It's kind of special. So if you turn to Matthew chapter 2, this is going to be around 807, page 807 of your Bible, right there in the beginning. The visit of the wise men. We heard this. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, get that, Jerusalem, not Bethlehem, asking, where is this king born, king of the Jews? Because we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Did you catch that? Today, there's going to be two things important for us to take away from this story. There's so much packed into this little verse. Two things that are going to be important, but the one that binds them both together is right there in verse 2. We saw his star and have come to worship him. The most important thing for us today that we can learn about the star that God chose in his perfect knowledge and his perfect timing to lead people from non-Jewish backgrounds to finally see this newborn king is to glorify him, to worship him. That's what it's all about. If you could say one question, get this. Philosophers have asked and wondered, what's the meaning of life? I'll tell you the meaning of life. The Bible says so. The meaning of life for you and I today as God's people is to glorify God. That's why we're born here. That's why we exist, simply to give praise back to God. That's what we're doing today. We're singing God's praise. We're here to hear his word, to receive his gifts, bringing him glory. For us today, when we see that star everywhere about in this church, it all goes back to this one thing. Are we bringing glory to God? Are we glorifying him in what we say and what we do? Because that's what that star did for us today. That's the point. So that brings us to the first of two points for us today. What's this star all about? If it's meant to glorify God, it seems like there's so many juicy things to find out. Is it a comet? Is it when stars aligned like the age of Aquarius, when Jupiter and Saturn aligned and you got this big bright star that seemed like a special star? People have debated this from ages, because it's not usual. This is a supernatural event that's special. And a couple things make this star so significant. The first is that it signified birth. This star signified birth. In the ancient Near Eastern cultures, whenever a star aligned, it did something unique, whether it was an asteroid coming or whether it was a shooting star or something in the heavens, ancient astrologers knew that something was special about to happen, a birth of a brand new king. If you can look back in history books, it happened with the choosing of certain Roman Caesars. And so when they saw this star, when it acted a little bit unusual, they knew something special was going to happen. These learned men from Persia, these wise men, it signified birth, this star. For us in this new year, this is a brand new year. We are born new. What are we going to do about it? This star was significant for us because it signified not only birth, but kingship. In the ancient Near East, when an astronomical event like this happened, they knew that not only a birth would be a beginning, but a king, a ruler. This star has connection with a Jewish nation. That when these wise men came, they went to the capital city looking where the king was supposed to normally be, Jerusalem, of all places. And when they heard about it not being there, Herod's temple officials called on everybody that learned old scripture, and they pointed back to Micah, the Old Testament prophet, that one that promised that the king of the Jews would be born in a little town called Bethlehem. This star is so significant is that it rose in the east. Some people think that it, the way that the Bible phrases it, that it rose on its own. You could think of it as an idiom that stars rise in the heavens like when you first see the dawn because of the normal rotation of the earth. So it was a star that acted like other stars in a sense. But what's weird is that this star happened to be appearing only at a precise time. That's what makes people rack their brains. How did this star happen to be? Maybe it was the vision of Halley's Comet back in 4 BC. The star endured over time. It didn't just flash like a shooting star. It moved and was there for a long time. Since we heard in Scripture that Herod made this decree that all the newborn babies of Bethlehem would be killed 2 years old or younger because of this. It could have been up for 2 years, even this star. It endured for a long time. This star, so significant, was that it was ahead of the Magi as they went south from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. And finally, it's so significant because it stopped in its movement. It stopped in the exact spot right over Bethlehem. And we can go back in scripture. We can go back in our science books. We can look at history. And all these things are important for us today, but the one thing that binds them all together, this star is special because it leads us to Christ. That's why it's so important for us to focus on. God chose this physical aspect of the world to glorify him, to lead not just shepherds to know this knowledge of a Savior, to lead not just his mom and dad, but to lead people from far lands, Gentile people, magi, to finally know that something new is happening in this world and that brought them to glorify God. So, that's the first point for us today. This star is worthy of our time and attention because without it, we wouldn't have known Jesus or where he was born. God broke in and gave us a sign when we are looking for miracles. And he does again today. That brings us to our second point today. In our worship, we heard of something quite significant. We heard this passage from the Old Testament and from the New Testament, which both said the same thing. If you didn't catch it, I'll read it for you again. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, these people of Philippi do things, all things, without grumbling or questioning, so that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. You know what happens when we do that? Paul says, among whom you shine as stars in the sky. For us, this is the very logo that is our congregation, Bethlehem, because it leads us to not only glorifying God, but it leads us to do just that. For us to shine, for you to shine, just like Jesus has shone for all new people. How are we going to do that? Scripture told us that we live ourselves in a twisted and crooked generation. These are words in 50 AD, and guess what? Things have not gotten any better. Think of our own lives. We want to glorify God. We want to say joy to the world, but it's hard when we got infighting with our families when we get together. It's hard when we can't help but curse and swear at each other, call people names, harass each other, put each other down. It's hard to glorify God when we just can't seem to know how to love another person the right way, whether it's our husbands or wives or our children or friends. This has been a hard year for a lot of us. It's been hard because we're still living in that twisted generation, that twisted and crooked generation filled with sin. And guess what? We're part of it. We're part of the problem as sinful people, that we just can't help it because we're born into this world of sin. So how do we do just that as Paul urges us? How do you shine like stars in the sky? Ever wonder that? Well, there's no mistake that this is the logo and image of Bethlehem. Our mission is not only to serve and share God's news of love, but to shine in all that we do. We've heard this example. Our musicians are using their God-given talents to bring you praise and to glorify God. People are here to read to you the very words of God from their lips. Our volunteers of this church, so many volunteers of ages are doing just that, to shine God's love to you. How can you shine today, knowing that God has led you already to know he has been born for you, that he has died for you? That is our quest for 2022. How can I glorify God with what he has given me? How can I sing God's praises? Well, it's a simple fact as looking at this star. As we heard from our children, there's 8 points. Whether we are in the north, south, east, or west, or whether it's winter, spring, summer, fall, we have seasons of life. There are going to be times where it's going to be hard for us to shine when life is hard. But there's also going to be times when we can shine because of the simple fact. You know what's special about the Bethlehem star for us today? It's not just the 8 points. It's not just the color. It's not just the history, the science behind it. Take a good look right there in the middle. What is the center of our lives? You see it? It's not blue. It's white. We look at the star of Bethlehem, we see Christ himself. When we don't have enough love in our tanks to show and share to another person, guess what? That's when God's love kicks in. When we don't have enough patience in the world for dealing with a brand new year, brand new people, guess what? That's when God's love kicks in. And when we feel like we've been depleted and we just can't urge ourselves to bring into a new year with all our resolutions, all our plans, all our promises, guess what? Jesus has done it. He has come into this world. We can still celebrate joy to the world. We can still celebrate his love, and we can still shine. We can beam radiantly all because of Jesus. So when people ask you and wonder, what is it that's inside of you? You can shine stars in the sky yourselves because it's not you. It's Jesus in you, with you, working even in spite of you. You know what? When we do that, you know what happens? We go back to what happened for the Magi. They glorify God. You and I can glorify God today despite what's going on. Because wise men still seek him. Wise men and women still can shine. We leave it all to him. So this brand new year, leave it all to Jesus, who is our star, who guides us into a new year ahead. And all God's people said, Amen.